of the increase of his government and peace, watch this, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forever, everybody say forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I'm going to preach something this morning. I don't typically preach a message like this on Sunday morning. A lot of times I will preach a message like this on a Sunday night. So if you like this today, if this speaks through you today, try Sunday night. This is kind of a message I would typically preach there, but I just feel to preach this today. Because I believe God is positioning us. He is positioning me. He is positioning you. He is positioning his church. Amen. I don't care how long you've gone here. You've been here for 50 years, or you've been here for 50 minutes. God is positioning you for a purpose. And I want to preach this today. Expand the kingdom. Expand the kingdom. I want you to look to your neighbor and I want you to tell them this. Don't ask this to them. Tell them this. Expand the kingdom. It was a turbulent time, a seemingly hopeless time. The world around was seemingly at war. The economy was on the brink of disaster. Sin was running rampant. Idolatry was everywhere. War was ready to be at their own door. And no, I'm not talking about the United States of America, although it could fit. This was the nation of Judah. And their king at this time was Ahaz. And it was in these conditions that a prophet received a word from the Lord. It was in these conditions that a prophet received a promise from God. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Jesus, I ask you to help me right now. God, I pray, Lord, that you bless this message. God, you help it to go forth. God, that it would go for its intended purpose, for its intended reason. God, you know the hearts that are here, and you know what needs to be said, and you want to be said. And God, I pray, Lord, that you help me to say everything that you want me to say. I ask for your anointing in Jesus' name. For unto us a child is born. It was in this condition. Turmoil. Struggle. Difficulty. Disaster, a world full of sin, that a promise from God was given. And can I tell you that just as it was in the days of Isaiah, it can be to anyone of us who seek the Lord while he may be found, who call upon him while he is near. It can be to any one of us who say, you know, I don't like what's going on around me. I'm going to look up unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. To anyone who will look to the God of our salvation, who will inquire of him and seek him. I didn't just say anybody and everybody. I said those who diligently seek him. I said those who desire, that say, I don't want what they've got. I don't care what's going on. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world is doing. It doesn't matter what the economy is like. It doesn't matter what the government is like. It doesn't even matter what my neighbor is doing. What matters is what I'm doing. If my eyes have looked up, if my eyes have seen the Lord high and lifted up, if it's seen his train, if I recognize his power, his authority, his might.
Amen. Amen.
In the midst of a world full of sin and shame, while the world is covered in darkness and filled with chaos, the very beginning of my Bible tells me that in the midst of the mess, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. It was in a mess. It was in a turmoil. It was in a struggle. It was in a difficult situation. It was in a time that was complete chaos, and the Spirit of God moved. And that same Spirit that moved in that darkness is the same Spirit that'll move in the darkness of this world. The Bible lets us know that as this world gets darker, the light of this glorious gospel will shine brighter. Because God said, let there be light. It doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter what you're facing right now. It doesn't matter what you seem all around you. Our problem is we focus there too often when we need to be looking up and seeing the light that God is wanting to shine. And while we quote Isaiah 9 and 6 so readily, see, you guys have heard that so often. It's like, yeah, go ahead and preach to me Isaiah 9 and 6 again. It is the next verse that I believe God spoke to me this week. You see, Isaiah 9 6 tells us who he is. But it's Isaiah 9 7 that tells us what he does. It's Isaiah 9, 6 that tells us who our God is. But it's Isaiah 9, 7 that tells me just what he does. It's Isaiah that describes his roles. It's 9 and 6 that describes his roles. It's 9 and 7 that shows us his power. and we quote 9 and 6, and we preach 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born. And I believe that. And I hold on to that scripture so dearly. But I also want us to understand that 9:6 was the prelude to 9:7 of the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end. I wish somebody believed this besides me. I wish I'd get you to believe this besides me. Listen, of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. Let me say it this way, of the increase of his empire. All right, let me put it into Bible terms. Of the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. How many believe today that it is absolutely the will of God that his kingdom grows? His kingdom does not stay small. His kingdom does not stay in one place. His kingdom expands. Of the increase of his government, of his empire, of his kingdom, and his peace. I'm sorry, I'm gonna get personal here for a second. And I'm sorry if this bothers you, but it doesn't bother me. You'll have to get used to it because there's gonna be a lot of it going on. I watch Sunday morning. Oh, I enjoyed all week, and we loved the big numbers that came, 95 kids that come on Thursday. Wow, I mean, just blew us away. That's a miracle. But God's going to expand that miracle. God's going to expand that. It may start with the kids, but it's going to get into the adults because they're going to start saying, wait a minute, something's happened to my child. It's not the way it used to be. That's not the same kid. I've got to see what they've got. I've got to experience what they got. Man, that church is so friendly. Man, they've loved my kids so much. I've just got to experience more. And they're going to walk through these doors and they're going to feel the power of an almighty God. And I watched Sunday as I gathered those kids around. See, they were facing you. That was intimidating. How would you like to be a bunch of kids facing a bunch of strangers that you don't know? And they're looking at you. And they're saying, okay, they're staring at me and I'm staring at them. Now what? Something in my, believe me, Brother Greg threw me a curveball. I didn't know that was coming. But we hit it. And I gathered them in tight. And I gave them a few instructions, and I began to talk to them. And then I said this, close your eyes. Do you know why? So they weren't looking at you. And they weren't looking at me. And I said, I'm going to pray for you. That's all I said. I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I began to pray. And I looked up. And I seen the first little girl with a tear rolling down her cheek. And I said, uh-oh, here it goes. And I looked up, and this one, and that one, and that one, and that one. And I looked over at my son, and he's sobbing and crying and speaking in tongues. And I look over and I see what God's doing as he's sweeping through the front of this building. And I walk back through and I see 3 tough boys. They were the tough guys of the week. I even had to threaten them once. Trying to stand big and bad. And I got close. And as I'm walking by, I could see all their faces. Until one of them said, I can't take this. I've got to go back here. And he left. And the other one tried to walk away. I said, oh, no, you don't. And I grabbed his arm. And I said, son, I don't know if anyone's ever told you this. But you've got potential. God wants to do something in your life. I don't know if anyone's ever done it, said a kind thing to you, but I want you to know you're a good kid. And I want as God began to touch him. But I was getting to my point. This is my point. The Bible says, and of the increase of his government, his empire. But it doesn't stop there. It says, and peace. There's a lot of people in this world who don't know peace. They don't have peace. We live in a world that's filled with chaos. But I've got to tell us today that when the Spirit of the Lord moves, and it moves on the chaotic situation, there is a byproduct that comes. And that is the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace. Peace begins to settle in. There's something that happened. I'm ministering right now. I don't care what your situation may seem like right now, what your home situation may feel like right now, what's going on around you. I don't care what it, let me tell you, there is a God in heaven who the scriptures declare in 9 and 6. It tells us who he is. He is the Prince of Peace. But then it tells us what he does. 9:7 tells us, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Why? Because this Prince of Peace said, I want to give you peace. Somebody needs to lift your hands towards God right now. Just lift your hands towards him right now. He's got a peace that he wants to give you. The Bible calls it a peace that passeth all understanding. It doesn't matter what it looks like. The problem as a pastor is I know too many situations. Because you talk to me, and I try to keep that confident. Because I want you to trust me. But I also know that I have a God who is the Prince of Peace that will step in to your situation, Brother James, and he will bring peace. Isaiah lived in a time that was chaotic, that was troubled at best. And yet, it was Isaiah who received the promise that this Jesus would be the Prince of Peace. There shall be no end. There's no stop. Do you know why there's no stop? Because that peace that we can have in this earth that the world can't give and the world can't take away, this peace goes from this life and transfers with us. Because when I get to heaven, it says, and there will be no tears. There'll be no pain. There'll be no suffering. Why? Because the kingdom of God is a kingdom of peace. Amen. Amen. See, in our minds, I'll just keep reading this. I'm going to read this a little bit more. To order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever, the zeal of the Lord will perform this. In other words, he's not taking a back seat. He's not just wanting to let it happen. He's not just letting things go by and by. He says, I'm zealous for you, and my zeal will perform it. Our problem is this. Right now, we think of it on earthly terms. That if I've got a trouble in my life, then I don't have peace. That if I've got an issue going on in my life, then I can't have peace. But I'm here to tell us today that it doesn't matter what your storm is. There are some storms, Brother Dave, you might remember when I preached this a while back. There are some storms that God delivers us from. But then there are those storms that God says, no, I'm just going to go with them. I'm just going to go through them with you. I'm not going to get rid of it. I'm just going to walk with you. I'm just going to ride with you. I'm just going to do the miraculous in your life. Even while you're in the middle of it, I'm going to say, Peter, come on out and walk on this water in the middle of the storm. Paul, I'm going to send you an angel to talk to you and help you with your... You guys better be glad it wasn't 4 weeks since I preached. It was this same God that was prophesied in Isaiah who began to walk this earth while the nation of Judah was in captivity. Now, wait a minute. I thought the prophecy said of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Why is the nation of Judah in captivity? Did the prophecy of the Lord fail? It appears from a mind's view, from an earthly view, that the prophecy of Isaiah did not come to pass. The kingdom isn't expanding. It's actually in captivity and will one day be destroyed. But that is only when you look at it through the physical eyes, because Isaiah was not talking about an earthly kingdom. He was talking about a spiritual kingdom. And it was this kingdom that Jesus came to establish. And so it's here in Luke chapter 10 that Jesus wants to show his disciples how they, look at your neighbor and say you, can expand the kingdom. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. I just saw something there. He sent them to places that he was coming to. Amen, amen. Who was John the Baptist? The forerunner of Jesus. What is the church? Let me tell you this. In the same role, when you and I... If we won't walk there, if we won't go there. He sent them two by two into the places that he was going to come. Could it be that God has a challenge for us. Brother Fleming, that jail that you go into is a place that Jesus says, I want to come. I don't care what they've done. I'm bringing them out. And Brother Fleming steps in there as the forerunner, preparing a way for God to move in the hearts and lives, because the Bible tells us how beautiful are the feet of them.
Amen.
That preach the gospel.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because he sent us to go.
Amen.
It's not here. Oh, I pray all the time, God, let this sign light up and let someone catch this sign and see and just come in. And God has sent us people here and there and all of that. But let me tell you what God is commanding us. He's commanding us to go. He's commanding us to fulfill his commission. I'll try to hurry. He appointed 70 also, and he sent them two by two in every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Now you got the context of when this passage comes in. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. That is still an issue today. The harvest is great, the laborers are few. And I don't blame you, I blame me. All of us have been called to be laborers. Let me say it again. I don't care if you've been in this church for 50 years or 50 minutes. You have been called to expand the kingdom of God. He says, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man. By the way, watch this. And into whatsoever house ye enter, say first, peace be to this house. Because the Prince of Peace is wanting to come to this house. I want you to see that Jesus sent them to expand the kingdom. He said, look, I'm sending you to places I'm going to show up. I'm sending you to places ahead of time, and I'm going to be there to follow it up. God is sending you places and putting you places, and he wants us. Because he wants to come.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let me put this in a natural sense so you can understand it. Everything can't be done. God gave me this. I believe he gave me this morning. Everything cannot be done by airstrikes. The nation of Israel, you know, is in war. They have the greatest air force, probably besides us. Nobody wants the air force of the nation of Israel to come flying overhead. We can go back to the United States when we went over. We went in by airstrike. But everything cannot be done by airstrikes. There has to come a point when feet get on the ground.
Amen. Amen.
Israel recognize, if I'm getting into those tunnels, if I'm getting into those shelters, it won't be done by the air. It will have to be done by the ground. Let me make the spiritual connection for you. We believe very strongly in the power of prayer.
Amen. Amen.
And I dispatch angels, and I pray, and I ask God to do miraculous things, and I ask God to go and soften hearts and do all kinds of things. That is airstrikes.
Right.
felt like God was speaking to me. Joe, you've got to get some feet on the ground. Because there are some strongholds that will not be broken until we. And if you're wondering, no, I am not preaching any message that was preached at any point in that camp meeting. God began to deal with me on Tuesday night. It was actually during a worship service. I was praising and worshiping, and all of a sudden God was talking. Like, my goodness, I couldn't get home fast enough. When I got back, I began to type. As soon as I got back to my room that night, I typed in. I began to put some things in. It takes troops on the ground. And so they came back, these 70 disciples, to report to Jesus what took place. I love this. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils. Like they were surprised. Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. The 70 came back and said, I can't believe it. We began to proclaim the name of Jesus, and devils had to come out, and devils had to leave, and devils had to flee. Let me tell you, if we can just get the understanding of the revelation of the power of the name of Jesus, that when I proclaim it, that when I speak it, that when I talk about it, the devils also know there's one God and tremble. Amen. Amen. And watch what he says. He says, it might have been a surprise to you. You might have been shocked by that. But let me tell you, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. You may be surprised by this, but I saw Satan. Bam. You know how fast lightning strikes. That's just how quick the devil fell. You got to understand this, that when we speak the name of Jesus, when I proclaim the name of Jesus, it's not even a fight. Bam. And then he says this. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Let me ask a very simple question. If that's the case, what's holding us back? He said, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Let me tell you what we have. There's a power that is unmatched. The problem is, we don't use it. Over all the power of the enemy. And nothing, everybody say nothing. Look to your neighbor and say, he can't hurt you. When you're doing the will of God. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. I felt God speak to me. And I'm going to ask a question. And I'm not asking this to cast blame or anything like that, because God began to deal with me. How many people carry around anything that looks like this? Got a few. Maybe you can't see it from there. This is a card for our church. It is called a seed card. It's a card to place anywhere and everywhere we go. Didn't we just see that he says, I'm going to send you places that I'm going to come later? Amen. I know Brother Fleming passes these out all over the jail. Don't you, Brother Fleming? And they know where our church is. And if they don't, there's a map on here.
Amen. Amen.
I felt like God was dealing with me. He said, the reason I'm not sending more people into contact with you is because you're not prepared for when they come. Because on multiple occasions, I've started talking to somebody and then I'm nothing to give them. I have nothing to hand to them. God says, why do I want to send to you when you're not armed? Because you never know in what grocery store, in what restaurant, in wherever you go. You never know who you come in contact with. Who said, you know, I need to find God. And I like the way, it might have been Philip. I wish I could remember off the top of my head which apostle it was. But he went and he says, it was Nathaniel. He says, Philip says, but can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Nathaniel says, well, I don't know the answer. I don't have all the answers. Come and see.
Amen.
You don't have to have all of the Bible memorized. You don't have to have everything down pat. Now, it's good because the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God and workmen need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I understand that facet. But let me tell you, to expand the kingdom of God, you don't have to have everything lined up. You know what you have to have? A willingness. And here's what you can say. I may not have the answers for you, but come and see.
Amen. Amen.
Come and feel the presence of God for yourself.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come and feel the love of God for yourself.
Amen.
I don't have the answers. And this card don't have all the answers. But here. Come and see. Just come and see. I would encourage every single person after church today to go grab some of these. Put them in your purse. Put them in your wallet. Keep them on you. Keep them in your vehicle. You never know when God might use you. And I'm tired of being in situations when I'm not prepared. You know what? You know why we're not prepared? Because we don't expect it. What happens if I would expect that every day of my life I'm going to come across somebody who needs God?
Amen.
Guess what I do? If I expect it, I prepare for it.
Amen. Amen.
I expect to come up here and preach every week. And guess what I do? I prepare very hard to come up here and preach every week.
Amen.
I do my best.
Amen.
Everything is done that way.
Hallelujah.
If I expect it, I prepare for it.
Amen. Amen.
All right, let me move on. I'm getting ready to close. It's already after 11:30. And some of you might have dinner reservations, and I've got food waiting for me after church. Thank you. No advertising. No, I'm just kidding. Luke 15:10. This really needs to be the heartbeat. And let's all stand. We can stand. When you stand, I stop talking. No, I don't, right? Someone say, quit lying, you're in church. I fully believe that when people walk through these doors, they feel something they've never felt anywhere else. Amen. They feel the presence and power of God they've never felt anywhere else. It was Jesus who said this. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels. There is joy in the presence of angels. The angels of God. Over one. Everybody say one. We can go 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 as well. All of heaven rejoices. There is joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that repents. Start thinking about that. I want heaven to smile. I want heaven to look down and rejoice. Can I tell you when it happens? It happens when that person who is down and out, who knows they've messed up, who knows they've made mistakes. It comes from that person who says, you know, I'm not worthy. I've made too many mistakes in my life, and I've walked away from God, and I've turned my back, and I've done things I wish I wouldn't have done, and I've lived things I wish I wouldn't have lived, and I've been places I wish I wouldn't have gone, and I've done things. But Jesus, I come here today, and I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to help me. And I say, Jesus, help me not to do it again. Help me to walk a different way. Help me to act differently. Help me to see things differently. Help me to live differently. And it's in that moment that all of heaven begins to rejoice. That joy begins to fill we do what we do, because Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want heaven smiling down. Do you know why? The presence of God filled that altar last week, and those children began to feel something that they had never felt before. Let me tell you why. It was because the angels in heaven began to have a party.
I don't know about you.
began to look down. And they saw that little girl. Who knows what has taken place in her life? And who knows what things have come against her? But her heart began to reach towards God. And I could just see heaven with this big smile on his face. He said, "That's what I want." I don't know today where you are in your walk with God. Maybe today you feel undone. Maybe today things don't seem right in your life. Maybe you feel as though you've lost your way. Don't think heaven is looking down on you with a scowl. Don't think God is waiting to hammer you over the head and to blame you for all of those things you've done. No, that's what the devil does. But I have a God in heaven that as soon as you begin to say, "Help me, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus." He begins to smile down. Is there someone here today who says, "I want that"? Maybe today you've been wondering, "What can I do? What can I do? What can I do?" I've come to preach this message to you today. Expand the kingdom. Expand the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not intended to stay held up and confined. Maybe today you need to ask God to forgive you because you've been focused too much on things inwardly, on your own problems and your own life and your own circumstance and your own stuff. He says, "No, look onto the fields, for they're white and ready for harvest." I wonder if there's someone who wants to come today who says, "I just want to ask God to give me that burden back, to give me that burden for the lost, to give me that burden for lost souls again. I've got to believe there's more than just three. I've got to believe there's more than just a few of us." Let the burden for the lost grip you. Let it grab a hold of you. I don't care what background they come from. They can be a doctor, a lawyer. They could be the president of the United States. I don't care what their background is. Everyone needs a savior. How shall they know unless someone tells them? Unless someone talks to them? Unless someone plants that seed of hope in their life? Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's intercede right now. You know, we can go ahead and do some airstrikes right now. We can go ahead and ask God to soften hearts, yes, and to open doors. But we also need to pray that he sends forth laborers and I become willing to be one of them.